You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
It's so sizzling out here in New York, finally. We skipped, as usual, as per usual, we skipped right over spring and went to summer. So it was winter as of last week, and here we are in summer. It's a 90-degree day over here in New York. Not a cloud in the sky. It's fantastic. I didn't get to take advantage of it as much as I'd like to, but I did get business done. And that's all that matters, and here we are on the air. Going to miss tomorrow night too because I got baseball then, but at least you guys know that I'm not lying now. I went live from the bench last night for about 5 minutes. The kids were excited about that, and they played well. They played really well. And here we are tonight. You're watching, listening. It is your choice. 7:02 p.m. East Coast time. 7:02 p.m. This is Quite Frankly. I'm Frankly. And what are we talking about tonight? Well, there's really no news, thankfully. I can't stand the news. The news is depressing. It's terrible. And you know, the other thing is that you can get news anywhere. Okay? I am a big-time First Amendment guy, but let's be honest. With the First Amendment means that everybody gets a voice. And we know how bad that is. And you know how unsightly that is sometimes. The types of people that have voices out there today, especially what social media has given people. It's given people who we were actually shielded from for many, many millennia, a voice. We were shielded from people with really bad ideas and absolutely nothing in their brains. But now, hey, now everybody's got a voice. Everybody can be an activist if you have a bad attitude and a Twitter account, as I always say. And that's what we're doing here. But because anybody can report on the news and talk about the news, then why do we really got to spend so much time on it? When things break, then obviously we got to open up the floor and talk about it a little bit, try to get better perspective on things. Because, of course, everything is hyper-hysterical. Hysteria everywhere. God damn, I love this fucking great video. Great video. Big data. Big data. I love this song. Great song. But in either case, it's a Wednesday night. Coming up next after me at 8 o'clock is Scotty Milan's Being Human. Scotty actually might come on for the last 10 minutes of this show. So let's get to work. The first thing I want to get to, let me get into the chat room, see who's there. Moonlit Matt, Nikki, Rumble and Roar. Rumble says Frank's got his groove back. Yeah, maybe. Frankie Castle, Mr. Jimmy 93, nice to see you in there, man. Saw you last night, but first time I'm addressing you. So all the anonymous people in the chat room as well, please feel free to come on and join us. So what we have on the table tonight is something I've been meaning to talk about for a while, but I guess all the stars aligned, and I have enough stuff to talk about. Now, I have one blog entry over here. From a blog that I have frequented over the last couple of months, Kinetic Penguin, on Tumblr. And they address, I don't know them personally, so I don't know their name or even, you know, if it's a he, she. But in either case, they address non-aggression's principle, but also the whole idea of the Constitution comes up in this thread as well, which also links into a conversation that I've been having ongoing with another friend of mine on Tumblr. His blog is ChemQuiz. Wait, hold on. Wait a second. Isn't it ChemQuiz? Hold on. Wait. I got it right here. Yep. ChemQuiz. ChemQuiz. Okay. And we had a talk about... He's a listener to the show, and obviously we interact elsewhere. And we had a talk about the Constitution and really the efficiency and really the meaning for it anymore. So whereas I felt all this stuff kind of tied in, I think it would be a great thing to talk about because we live in a country over here where the Constitution is the law of the land, the supreme law of the land. It is the thing that has set up the mode of governance under which we live and in which we live, and that we are all an active part of it, whether you realize that or not. Not many people realize that these days. We don't have civics class that is a very profound or regular thing in school anymore. So people are just meant to believe that they are here. They are just floating around. And if you want something done, you have to beg your king, the president, to get something done. And he can do it with his pen and his phone. And the Congress is only a ceremonial appendage to our government in which you can then point blame at one of two factions in there for doing something. And it makes the whole soap opera, the ongoing soap opera, daytime soaps that my grandmother used to watch, it makes all of it a little bit more palatable. You know, one of those storylines you can follow along. You know who to root for. You know who to root against. It's House of Cards. And we're all living in it. But we're the most unimportant part in this story when we are, in fact, the most important part. But how do we become the most unimportant part? Well, it would be through the degradation of our education system and taking responsibility away from the local communities and actually diluting all of that. Diluting the fact that the United States does have culture. It has, you know, different cultures in different parts of the country just because this country is so vast. And we have essentially 50 different countries inside of it, okay? It's so amazing what we have going on here right under people's noses that they don't even take into account anymore. But this calls something a little bit different into play. Non-aggression's principle. Now, non-aggression principle is the driving philosophy behind libertarianism. And it's pretty much what you would think it is. It's mankind is free to do whatever the hell they want to do as long as it doesn't impede on the freedoms of somebody else. So pretty much as long as it's not a violent crime or some kind of a theft, whether it be a physical theft or, you know, a theft of innocence or anything like that. And there's different types of ways you can draw it up. There's different types of ways that you can argue for or against it. People who are, you know, social libertarians will have arguments based on non-aggression principle for or against things like abortion and all the other wedge issues. You may think, because it all deals with autonomy, okay? A person's ability to control their own lives. So, you know, nothing is as clear-cut as it intended to be, but that is one way that you would go forth and try to assert your claim on especially a stateless society. A lot of our ANCAP friends, this is pretty much their credo. And I'm completely down with it. Now, when I talk from the standpoint from which I come from, which is I am a minarchist, I guess so. I'm a constitutionalist. I love the system. I love everything that's been set up here in this country, and I understand the basis of it, the philosophy on which it was based, and the perspective that was gained from the history of Europe and from the monarchy under which the colonists here lived. Okay, a lot of perspective gained from that. A lot of perspective gained from the Enlightenment thinkers and from the starting point of existing over here under a totalitarian state, a monarchy. And, of course, the American system that was brought up was a great experiment, something that the world had never seen before. But let's get into this. This is the this is the post from Kinetic Penguin. Now, they are responding initially to a post elsewhere on Tumblr that had made some kind of a claim that you can kill somebody preemptively for something, for just having them state the intention of doing harm to you. Okay, so she goes on to talk about this. So here's, I'm going to read it verbatim. So something's been bugging me that's been lost in all the noise over the laughable assertion of the right to shoot people in the back of the head. That alludes to what I just said. It's not really the most important part of this because other things come up. So now they put in a screenshot of a guy named Jonathan Herrimans, who went and, I guess, put something up on Austin Peterson, who's, I believe, one of the libertarian candidates for president against John McAfee and Gary Johnson, who I voted for in 2012. But I don't know. And he actually did, and Gary Johnson's appearance on Joe Rogan last week was actually pretty interesting, too. So Jonathan Herrimans says, the non-aggressions principle is inherited in nature, doesn't need your signature to be in effect. If someone or some entity decides to rob you, you have the right of self-defense, period. Austin Peterson responds, I didn't agree to the non-aggressions principle. I don't agree with your definition of private property. In nature, I take whatever I want from you and you just try to stop me or seek retribution. You better be stronger or faster or have more guns, but I doubt you are or do. Give me anarchy and I will give you death. And that, I guess that goes in line with some of the questions I had for some of our ANCAP friends who've come on, and I just want to know about justice within a stateless society, and even though you may say that the government, the United States government's power is arbitrary, what would be more or less arbitrary than the power that individual, law firms or anything like that representing people in a stateless society would have? I mean, who really grants one person's claim over the other? And what do you have there? The real reason, going from there, we won't go on to too many tangents. But back to the actual post now that Kinetic Penguin is writing. Putting aside that both parties sound like the sort of people who fart in wine flutes, which I love that, it does strike me as interesting that the NAP is essentially a social contract for people who are suddenly intensely literal when the phrase social contract is used. Just look at this impeccable retort. Now, here's another one. Here's a post from somebody. It says, oh, my magical artifacts. I guess talking about the Constitution. And it's a picture, a rendition of of our founding fathers. See Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson in there. These guys loved freedom so much that they wrote a contract hundreds of years before our birth, without your consent, binding you in enforced taxed servitude until your death. Which is a little misleading for a number of reasons, especially for the sake that, taxation was abhorrent to our founders and the framers of this country. Abhorrent. And an income tax, whereas it was instituted in other times and taxes were laid, which it was the whole point of federalism. The whole point of federalism, which is the reason why we had to get rid of the Articles of Confederation, because there was not enough power to any kind of centralized government to even levy a tax to get rid of the debt that was incurred just from fighting the Revolution. Because who is going to enforce it? And of course, there was the big problem between states of large size and large economic power, against the states of smaller size, representation in the Senate. Why does Rhode Island have just as much representation and just as much pull in a congressional body than Virginia, which was the powerhouse of the entire country at that time? Agriculturally, all of that. And then, of course, who has what share of the debts incurred from the revolution. So these are things that you have to think about. I understand that you say social contract, consent, but look at how the Constitution has been degraded and circumvented over the course of 240-some-odd years. You know, that's very misleading to even say that about all that. And we'll get into that next. That right there ties in more into what I was talking about with Chem Quiz. And for everybody in the chat room, please keep chatting it up. I will get in there as soon as we finish up with this stuff. So back to the blog. Intentionally or unintentionally, Peterson also points out the problem where NAP only works as long as everyone at least tacitly agrees to it and can clearly agree with what it means. The latter is especially sticky. It's weird, though, by rejecting the term contract and calling it a principle, the NAP's proponents can safely remove any vestige of consent and declare it a non-negotiable moral truth. It, quote, doesn't need your signature. Almost like the law of attraction doesn't need you to believe in it or not. It's always working for or against you. Thus, to reject the NAP is to mark yourself an enemy of mankind, subhuman, something to be purged with deadly force, which sounds all well and good when applied strictly to defense against home invaders, and less so when you consider how widespread disagreement is over where abortion and intellectual property rights fall under with the NAP. That's one thing we were just talking about. Especially with abortion, because you think about a bodily autonomy, how a person has all the rights to do and defend themselves and they to be safe within their own body. Some people who will go and argue again, I think Murray Rothbard actually argued against the fetus, in the fact that some people will make the claim that the fetus, which is not sentient to a certain point, is actually parasitical. And it is a foreign invader inside the body of a mother. Okay, so this is what you're talking about. It is never, never clear cut. There's always denominations and sub-denominations and sub-arguments where people within something is always... I'm telling you, everything reaches religious status. Okay, you can always tell when something becomes a religion from the way that an idea splits off. You know, it's not so much that you have Christianity, you have Roman Catholicism, you have Methodists, you have Baptists, you have Jesuit, you have everything. Okay, you split it off. Everybody has their own thing. Some people reject the papacy. Some people reject doing the sign of the cross. Some people have this. They don't do that. They do this. There's this tradition. There's that tradition. This one's over here. This one's over there. They're doing a handstand when they do receive the Eucharist. It brings the blood to the head more. I don't know. Everybody does their own thing. Okay, and it also elicits such an emotional reaction when something that you adhere to in your life is challenged. That's when you know you're dealing with a religious person. Okay? Let's see here. Even what steps can be taken to defend physical property are debated. If someone steps on your land, is his life forfeit? NAP requires that everyone is on the same page, not only in terms of self-defense, but what can be validly be defended. It's completely open to interpretation. Some might justify murdering someone in cold blood because they say that it's in a hypothetical situation where there was no government, they'd get to murdering and pillaging and justify that with an NAP. Others might say that killing someone just because they talked about doing something bad would be a gross violation of NAP. Okay? Whereas there's also people on the other side that say if you talk about something you intend to do, then it's Minority Report time. You can go and destroy them. Which is also creates other problems in other parts of, you know, the debate sphere. Especially when you bring up things, I love the tired old arguments about Hiroshima and Nagasaki and whether or not we should have dropped the bombs on Japan. You know? And you talk about preemptive, you talk about saving lives, you talk about doing something that you know is going to go on forever to decisively end things and actually save lives of both Japanese and American forces. But then you can't, how do you argue against? How do you argue for or against? I've seen people make all those arguments. How Japan was not good, but on the same time, you can kill somebody just because they stated their intention. Well, Japan was stated their intention to keep fighting until the last person. They're training every able-bodied citizen, whether they were 80-year-old great-grandmother or a 7-year-old. If you can hold a spear, you were ready to start killing anybody that looked foreign. So, I mean, it really opens up these weird, distracting debates. Now, I know debates are good for sharpening your tools and testing logic and seeing where you can go with it, but I don't know. I think there's so much distraction here. Why the hell are we still debating things like Hiroshima in 2016? Wait until the next situation where we have to sit down and we're facing an enemy, a standing army, by all means, were racing for the bomb themselves. And you think about all that stuff. And you say, well, you know what? I wasn't in the position. Maybe we will be in a position one day. Then you can put all of your logic to work. If you're in a position to even offer up an opinion. That, of course. You know? Because who are we right now? And of course, we're very, very safe from our little keyboard perches 75 years later. But who knows? Now, let's move on to the second thing here. And I want to thank Kinetic Penguin for writing that, because really it struck some things with me. And I was like, you know, this needs to be talked about. And I would love to have Kinetic Penguin on the show whenever they'd like to come on. And there you go. So going on to ChemQuiz. Now, last week I got this thing from ChemQuiz, this message, and I asked him if I can pretty much bring this on air. He said yes. So this is what he got back to me with. He said, hey man, listening to Wednesday's podcast, and you start off the show by saying that the Constitution is the only thing you care about. I guess I'm just curious as to why you care about it so much. The morality of being born into a contract that you didn't sign, aside from one of my favorite quotes for people who still believe in the Constitution but not in the current form of government, which, if I'm under the correct impression, you really don't, which you are under the correct impression. I do believe in the concepts and the principles of the Constitution and the government that it sets up. But I do not approve of the current government and what we've become. Is that the Constitution has either allowed such a government as we have it today, or it has been powerless to prevent it. Either way, it's useless. My response, and I'll just be verbatim to save time. Well, as Madison said in Federalist Number 1, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and then in the second place oblige it to control itself. A dependence on people is no doubt the primary control on government, but experience has taught mankind the necessity of auxiliary precautions. It's not so much a problem with the principles, necessary precautions, and auxiliary precautions such as Article 5, which we have plenty of groups in this country, just like the group to, I believe they call themselves term limits for U.S. Congress. They are a nonpartisan group that is looking to gain traction in all 50 states to evoke Article 5 of the Constitution, which is an amendment process of the Constitution that overrides the legislative branch and goes through the state legislatures. So there's always outs. I mean, you talk about what we're at and why do you believe in the Constitution if this is what we have? I mean, our framers knew what mankind was capable of. We had just shook off, at great peril and great expense, the world superpower of the day. We had just shook them off our backs. And taking what we had lived under with the British, and taking all of civilization's history in Europe, which was Western civilization, all we had of Western civilization at the time. This was the great experiment. And in looking at all the failures of government and all the monarchies and dictatorships and the coups and everything that had happened and the and how pure democracy and mob rule did not serve people well, there was something else here. There's something else here that needed to be explored. And an extremely neutered executive branch was one of them. Now, I said it's not so much the problem with the principles of the Constitution as it is the degradation of the principles and the morals of the and the morals and the education of the people. So if we've got if we've had our reservoir corrupted over the course of two centuries, it actually goes to show how long it took to circumvent what the framers took put in place. It's not like we crumbled. We survived the Civil War. You know, we survived multiple civil rights movements. We adapted. They made this. I mean, there's a very, very good reason why the Constitution was made so pliable, but pliable in a very specific sense, where things like slavery, suffrage, civil rights, all of these things were able to be there, to grow and to bud and to germinate there within this system. Because, of course, if it is right, then the masses are going to scream for it, and it's going to pass. It's going to pass. And the other thing is, too, remember, the country is not a... We're looking at the whole country as an amorphous blob. It's not, which is why the 10th Amendment was so imperative to all of this stuff. What Kentucky wants to do is Kentucky's business. If it's not in the enumerated powers, then whatever they're going to be doing, whether it's on a marriage level or anything like that, it's up to them. It's up to them. Now, me, as being a complete supporter of equal rights, especially in the field of marriage, I say we should amend the Constitution and write a 28th Amendment, which I did with a couple of buddies of mine in jest. And what is that? That's not limiting people's rights or affirming people's rights over somebody else's. No, it is once again affirming that government, state and federal, should be out of the marriage business. Out of it. If anything should be amended to the Constitution, it's in telling you what the government is no longer able to do. And that the rights revert to the people and their respective states. Because what is the difference of living in Washington State or Alaska or Hawaii or Florida or anything else if there's no reason to even be in the state except to just be thrown into different voting districts? What is it if states are just glorified voting districts to count and tally votes? What is it if that's the only thing that they stand for? You know, you should be able to leave one state, one country, and go to the other if you like the way that they run themselves. If you like what... That is the whole point here. That's the whole point of all this stuff. And it goes back to ChemQuiz. But having those auxiliary precautions failed, both culture and the people and the government have learned to circumvent the boundaries set for government by the Constitution to expand the government into the monster we have now. And I agree, 200 years is pretty impressive. But now that it is corrupted, what's the current worth? And I said, no current worth at all. If there were a restoration of the Constitution, it would be a glorious thing. But there's a reason why politicians went into the welfare business. Okay, ain't no one on welfare gives a fuck about civics. They just want to know where their next meal is coming from, everybody. Okay, it's also a matter of fear. We still have Article 5 to exclude Congress from the amending the Constitution. But, you know, people, the other thing is education. Say, what is the real difference of these auxiliary precautions? Have they failed? They haven't been failed. They haven't. It's not that they've failed. They haven't been dusted off. They haven't been dusted off. You think that schools are teaching people about things like Article 5 in the Constitution? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Definitely not in a Common Core curriculum. Absolutely not. Common Core is making up its own Bill of Rights. It's It's making education of simple math so complex that it has effectively taken parents out of their children's education completely, which I believe, and I know that that opinion is shared by many people, to be the case. There's no reason to screw with math, simple elementary math, the way that Common Core has screwed with math, than for any other reason to take parents completely out of the education process completely and have them completely sitting on the sidelines with their dinosaur-ass math, not knowing how to get involved, therefore surrendering all control of the education to the real people who are raising the kids now. Parents just being wards, parents just being the guardians of what are really just wards of the state. Yes, make sure that they survive till their 18th birthday. Shovel them off into some indoctrinating college campus, and that's it. Keep them well fed until their 18th birthday, and then hopefully by then they'll know how to think correctly. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's just, you know. And then I'll leave it off at this. And also, Chem Quiz, it was a great talk with them. And I want to have more of these talks. You know, I want to have these talks and hash it out a little bit to see where the common ground is. You know, but the real question I have is this: what if the will and the education and the moral of the people, which is decayed, if it was the will and the education and the morals of the people that have decayed, rather than the Constitution itself, what is the next idea we should be thinking about? Should we draw up a new Constitution that's better suited for the mindless rabble that we have running through the streets? The people that are protesting in New Mexico, thinking that they're part of some peace and equality movement when they're throwing bottles and rocks at handicapped people and waving foreign flags and screaming and intimidating people and becoming militaristic? You want to write a constitution that appeases that rabble? The Constitution's not the problem. The principles of the Constitution is not the problem. It actually goes really, really very, very hand in hand in many respects with non-aggressions. Only thing is that in this federalist system that we have before us, the state is an enforcer of contracts. And of course, it sets up for military defense of the nation as a whole and a Bill of Rights for all people. Okay, Bill of Rights that was actually not even there when the Constitution was ratified. Okay, it was the first Congress that put together the Bill of Rights. So that's the question I have for people out there who dabble with these trains of thought and have these debates on social media and all that. If you believe that the Constitution itself is a problem, that's one thing. But if you really read the Constitution, checks and balances, the escape hatches it puts in there for people, what it really protects and how it really limits government, doesn't limit people in any way. What it really preserves for people, all people, and what it really limits for government. And then you look at modern day society and what it has degraded into. What is the next step if the Constitution is no longer a thing? Call in and tell me. I'm going to put the Skype on now. Sorry, I didn't notice that it wasn't on. Call in and tell me what the next step is. Because if we're going to talk in a stateless ANCAP type of sense, you really think that the people, the majority of the 320 to 330 million people in this country, are ready for anarchy? You think they're ready for governing themselves? When what they're asking for is totalitarianism? People may think they're looking for freedom and equality right now, but they are begging. They are on their knees begging for a king. They're on their knees begging for totalitarianism right now. So if you think that we need something new, then what do you really think is going to be accepted? If we actually say, okay, fine, the Constitution is no more, boom, poof, it is gone. What will 2016 America accept? Something that's even more, if you think about it, conservative? which is what NAP is, as conservative as it gets, you handle your own shit. That's what I want to know. Taking a call from Jimmy right now. Jimmy, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, is this Chem Quiz?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Nice to have you on, my brother. So with the question I just posed right there, what in your mind would you go to first?
I do think that the majority of people are willing to live by themselves now. We see all this craziness going on in the streets, but I really think this media hype by basically a minority being amplified by the media. Like, I know I'm able to control my own life. I don't think I'm that much better than anybody else here.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I agree with you. I know that I would be able to live in my own skin and be totally chill, you know, keeping 40% more of what I make every year and investing in my own business, you know, creating jobs not only for myself but for other people around me, and just contributing to the local community and going from there and having that spread. I totally get it, and I'm there with you. In theory, I'm there with you, but what I want to know is that whereas people would be able to, what you think, you said that you believe that most people would be able to live on their own right now and be able to back off of government, then why would we need to get rid of the Constitution instead of restoring the Constitution? When you really look at what it lays out for you, I mean, there is so much more. It is another whole world, and the Constitution has already been ratified. That's my whole thing. I'm looking for a restoration of what we already have instead of junking it and try to bring something in that would be considered by most to be even more radical than the Constitution already looks.
So my problem with the way the government's set up is it's not designed to help, like, large groups of people. There's a huge collective action problem with the way most people live. So right now, all the crazy groups and colleges and stuff are able to kind of get together and affect stuff in a constitutional way, but like kind of what we talked about, in a way that the majority wouldn't agree with, where if we scrap the whole system, to me, that seems like a better solution. Because then there's just individuals acting crazy on their own and nobody really has to listen to them.
Yeah, but you see, here's the problem. What you're talking about there is a group of crazy people who have been riled up by demagogues, who have been enabled by demagogues, who have been sold victimhood by demagogues, and they have no grasp on reality anymore. And then those same demagogues that rile them up see the personal gain that could be achieved through those same people and their consent, which is the vote, and they bring it to the floors of Congress, anything like that. They do whatever they have to do. They petition to the president to write some executive order up, and since they've now stacked the courts and they can screw with the courts, then they don't even need the legislative process. But what you do have standing in the way of any of that stuff is principled people and well-educated people. And what it comes down to, the initial problem is, where are the minds of the average people, and what are they asking for in their complete lack of education? So with that, that's my problem right there, is if what it always comes down to are the players in the game, then what you need is you need new players. How do you reboot the minds of human beings? How do we start ourselves up down the path toward a new enlightenment is what I want to know. Because, I mean, it doesn't matter what you put in place. If we're living around these types of people, whatever we have there is going to be completely manipulated and turned into something foul anyway.
No, I completely agree. And I actually don't think you can reset the minds of the people. I don't like the way society's acting right now, but I may be some old fogey that was like back in the 50s that didn't like the way the country was going back then, whenever I thought we were going in a good direction. Culture's a funky thing, and people like to pretend that culture affects politics. It's kind of the other way around. So, and I'm not, like, I don't claim to be any sort of expert, but to me, like, if we individualize things and make people act on their own from a basically scrapping the political system perspective, that would kind of force the people that are in these collectives to realize how to be adults, I guess is my best way to put that.
I agree with you on that one, man. I agree with you on that one. I think either way, no matter what it is, whether we have a complete collapse in government and actually somebody does get rid of the Constitution altogether and some sort of anarchistic society, which I do not believe is going to come about, which is why I'm all for the theory and I'm all for all the principles there, and I would be able to live in that world easily. I just don't see the practicality there, and I believe that what we have on the books is better than anything the world has ever seen. But it's just that we fall into a complete zombie before the feet of a complete zombie nation. That's my whole thing. I totally see exactly where you're going from. And individualizing things, and no matter where we go, if there's ever going to be a recovery of any kind of noteworthiness in this country, then it's going to require the ripping off of quite a few painful Band-Aids. You know, there's going – I look at these, and we're going to get around to it in the last 20 minutes of the show – but I look at what's going on in New Mexico, at the type of people that were out are out protesting against Donald Trump, and I'm not really a fan of Trump. I've been as critical as I have been fair to him in this entire ordeal, just because I don't see any point in being absolutely hysterical about anything. I laugh hysterically at ideas he has, whereas I laugh hysterically at ideas Bernie Sanders has. But what you're looking at here is holy shit, dude. Holy shit. Do you want to see all that stuff clear up? Ripping off Band-Aids is how we're going to do it. You have anything else you want to put in there, Jimmy?
I actually have no idea what's going on in New Mexico, so apparently I need to read up a little bit.
It was just a rally. One of those rallies, nothing new, just a loud group of people who want to hit and throw things, and of course they're always there for peace and love. And it always comes out of the left, all those loving, shrill, screaming people that want to kill you for thinking differently. So I'm gonna get on that a little bit too. But any closing remarks or thoughts you want to put out there?
Nah, man, just keep it up. I messaged you a couple weeks ago that I discovered your podcast on iTunes. It's literally been all I've been listening to work in my...
You found it on iTunes? You didn't stumble upon it on Tumblr or anything like that?
Oh no, I mean I've been following you on Tumblr for forever, I didn't realize that your show was on iTunes. Is what I'm saying,
dude, I'm so happy to have people like you hanging out with us too, man. I really do consider this your show as well. I'll tell you, I was actually telling somebody today too on Twitter. Because I go on Twitter every once in a while. I have my Tumblr forward to my political orgy Twitter handle, but I went on my Frankie Val account, which I was so heavy on in 2011, and I built a good following there just by writing nonsense, but I realized that I don't have anything to say on Twitter or Facebook anymore because I'm on every night for an hour, and I get to use my voice and talk to people, and I don't know how many times I've gone on Twitter and said, you know what, I haven't tweeted anything in a while. Let me put something out there. And I'll sit there, try to think of something to say, or I'll delete five drafts and before I just say, yeah, fuck this. And I just want to get rid of it all, man. I want to start talking to people again. So, and this is what this show is really important to me, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man.
So thanks for joining us, brother. And anything else you have in mind, send it my way because this turned into a great topic of conversation live.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too, dude.
All right. That is Jimmy. Check him out, Chem Quiz. And also, once again, big thank you to everybody out there that come here and hang out. This is getting to be a lot of fun. And ongoing. So, you know what? Let's take a really quick 30-second break, and we come back. I hope we get to... I'm probably going to have to save this high school orgy story until maybe ZNY tomorrow night, because we're not going to be able to get through the last 15 minutes. Be right back.
Bulletproof has always been about identifying and taking advantage of every single thing that makes people perform better. When you drink it, you just don't care about food. No cravings, no hunger for 4 to 6 hours, and you feel a kind of mental clarity that you probably haven't felt in years.
Have you heard of Bulletproof coffee? I tried it today. I feel pretty good.
Entertainment. Entertainment Network on ZenLive.tv.
Good evening, everybody. We're back. I love Bulletproof Coffee. I love Bulletproof products. It's fantastic. Fantastic stuff there. Clean. Clean stuff, man. Go check it out. All right, here's we're going to get into some stuff here. Now, protesters. So a mob attacks police outside of a Trump rally. They're throwing things. This one guy in a wheelchair got assaulted. Waving of the Mexican flags is something that is really, really unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. Now, you know that I'm a moderate nationalist. I don't look down my nose at the rest of the world. I just love the place that I come from. I love its history. It's good and it's bad. And I love being a part of that journey. I love being at the tail end of everything that has happened up to this point. Okay? That's the only thing that I can do as being alive. Be grateful for where we are right now and see if we can make something better of it. Both in your personal lives and your immediate blast radius. Okay, you're not going to be the savior of the world. You can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. And the best way to help people, to be honest, is to live a good life. Okay, that's the best way to help somebody. Live a good life. Okay, but going down here, Donald Trump rally in New Mexico. We got rock throwing. We got fires that were lit. We got a person in a wheelchair that's assaulted here. The Mexican flags everywhere. This is beyond me. Can you imagine waving the flag of the country from which you fled in an attempt to make the place to which you fled more like the hellhole that you ran from? I don't understand the mentality of coming to a country, running from a bad situation somewhere else, and immediately wanting the place that you've landed to resemble everything that you just ran from. I need somebody to lay that out for me. Talk about sedition. Talk about immigration without assimilation being invasion. That's an invasion right there. You know, and it really gets to me. It really gets to me because I know for a fact that legal immigrants don't like what's going on here. I know for a fact. I know for a goddamn fact, and I know for a fact that many, many legal immigrants, whether they be Hispanic, especially any other ethnic minority groups in this country, blacks, there's going to be so many people being quiet about who they're voting for and throwing a vote out there for Donald Trump. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to smile and do their things and then just, you know, go to the voting booth and do whatever they have to do in their heart. I know it. Because what are you really looking for here? What are you really looking to live inside of? How are you looking at all this? And you look at the people who are rioting and being so militant and being so aggressive. You see what's going on with all the Milo Yiannopoulos appearances, how they're being disrupted and threatening with the violence and all this shit. It is indignation. You see, people just know that they are part of some protected class for reasons they don't understand. The immigration issue, as we say so many times on this show, has nothing to do with compassion. It has everything to do with turning people into poker chips. That's all it is. Into leverage. That's all it is. Now, Donald Trump and the wall, I was never for it. I don't think it's really practical, even though some people say it is practical from a monetary and from an actual building standpoint. But I'm a lot more libertarian when it comes to immigration. Whereas all those people that showed up and took a day off to protest and continue to protest and block traffic and all that stuff, turn off the spigot. Turn it off. Turn it off. Close all the welfare loopholes. Number one, if you are not a citizen of this country, that you are not getting a dime from a taxpayer's from the Treasury, that is filled up by the taxpayers. You're not getting a dime. You're not getting a dime. Those are for citizens, paid for by citizens. Another thing, One-third of our prison population are illegal immigrants. Not people that are in prison because they crossed the border and that's the only crime they committed. People who have committed bad, violent crimes. Multiple offenders. There's no reason why taxpayers should be feeding them three square meals a day either. Get them all out. Dump them all out wherever the hell they came from. Dump them all out. Get you want to see a third of our prison population go away? Let's first of all get rid of all the non-citizens, gone. And then turn off the welfare for all people who are not citizens of the country. You want to see the lack of a need for a wall? You're going to see the trickling. Everything, the flooding across the border slow to a trickle once people realize, oh my God, there's no more free stuff. There's no more free stuff. America reclaimed its identity again. They're not going to become Venezuela after all. Damn. Where do we go now? Oh, I know. How about this? Venezuela is completely out of food. How about we still go to America, but we do whatever we can to bust our fucking asses, and we're going to bring good ideas, and we are going to get in line, and we're going to become citizens and do all of our stuff, and we're going to be part of the society that is different from the rest of everything in the Western Hemisphere and was created to be different from what was going on in the Eastern Hemisphere. You want to see a gut check moment? That's what it is. The world, this country, needs a number of really hard gut checks. It's not going to be easy. There is not going to be an easy landing. It's going to be a hard landing, everybody. Sorry. It's going to be a hard landing. There's got to be multiple Band-Aids ripped off as well. Sounds unfeeling? Fine. I don't care anymore. I don't care if it sounds unfeeling anymore. Because what we're doing is insanity. The dictionary definition of insanity. Here's another one that I thought was ridiculous. And then you have this whole thing. There was this one post I came across because I was just tracking a few tags on Tumblr and on Twitter just to see what people were posting about in New Mexico. And there was this post of these two girls posting each other, them making out, lesbians. They asked somebody, of course, to take a picture of them so they can make some kind of self-aggrandizing statement. And they're, of course, while they're kissing each other with their eyes closed and just basking in the peace of their selfie, okay, in the peace and the tranquility of their selfie, they're holding up a sign that says, stop the hate, whatever that means, because, Donald Trump, let's talk about this first. First of all, this was the caption underneath this thing here. At the Trump protests in Albuquerque, Donald Trump is a hateful, sad man, interested only in improving his own life and cares nothing about the lives of others. Trump loves hate. Love trumps hate. Love trumps hate. Okay, well, and then I thought it was really, really, really just typical to see this, self-aggrandizing, a showing of affection. That's all it is. Okay, remember what George Steinbrenner says. If you do something and more than two people know about it, you did it for the wrong reasons. You know, you do something for somebody. Well, this is something. We're doing this for the world. Watch us make out with each other. Okay. Self-aggrandizing showing of affection in the middle of a ravenous, militaristic mob of people waving foreign flags while scary people, the real scary, hateful people with opinions, not rocks, are inside of a building keeping to themselves. Can you imagine that? So once again, and I'm not a Trump fan, okay? But I can remember years of Donald Trump hanging out on the Howard Stern show. I can tell you, the guy doesn't care about the private lives of gays and ethnic minorities. I can promise you this. Promise you this. He employs them, unlike the government moochers like Bernie Sanders, who don't do anything but try to get the rabble even more rabbled. That's it. Who try to create certain types of people and problems that they can go fix for people to just create some kind of legitimacy to their life. But of course, Donald Trump, rises in the polls because of a hard stance on illegal immigration. Guys and girls, that is why he was so popular. He sees a problem with our trade, the way that we trade with the rest of the world. He sees trade deficits. He's looking from a purely business standpoint, a standpoint that anybody running doesn't have a lot of. You want to talk about his four bankruptcies out of the 515 some odd businesses he has stake or had stake in over his life? Then whatever. Then you don't even understand the notion and the real reason that bankruptcy exists for many more reasons than you failed, kid, move on. You just don't understand it. And once again, I'm not a pro-Trump. I'm not a Trump fan. I'm just anti-Trump hysteria. I can't stand the hysteria anymore. That these grandstanding freaks go out there and think that they're doing something because they chalk up a piece of construction paper, say something about love and hate, and they kiss somebody. And of course, you know, then the other thing is, I don't understand how a hard stance on illegal immigration somehow gets co-opted by gay and ethnic minority special interest groups. How does that get co-opted by gay rights groups? I mean, it must be really hard to have nothing left to fight for. It must be very, very hard for people to have nothing left to fight for than to co-opt things that have nothing to do with them just because you think that because you are a part of a group that was once very oppressed, you are now the only group that could ever feel oppression or be able to give love or be aligned with love for some reason, even though your actions in the present don't say anything of the sort. And here's another thing. Wasn't Donald Trump the first guy to come out and say that the first transgendered contestant in Miss Universe should be allowed to be in there? Didn't he open up Miss Universe to a transgendered woman from Canada? Didn't he do that? Does he only employ white people? I have not heard anything. I don't get where all of this is coming from. It's people who needs, and of course, what are the hashtags? Hashtag me, lesbian, gay, queer, mixed race, activism, LOL. Look at how uncomfortable that guy looks, because there's a guy in the background who, hold on. Here. There's the guy in the background. Uncomfortable? Because he's looking to the right? Is looking to the right uncomfortable? And what does that even mean? You see here, it exposes everything. The hashtag LOL, look how uncomfortable that guy looks. Why does he look uncomfortable? Because you have it in your mind that everything you do is just really brave and courageous, and you're laughing in the face of people who don't approve of you. When who's not approving of you? You're fighting ghosts. You look schizophrenic. You look manic. It's like somebody running out to the ocean and trying to beat up the waves coming in, trying to stop the tide. What the fuck are you doing? More of the hashtags before we get off. Fuck Donald Trump. Make Donald Trump again. Donald Trump. Protest. Never Trump. Stop the hate. Love. Peace. Peaceful protesting. Peaceful protesting. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then, of course, feel the burn. Bernie Sanders. Girls who like girls. Anti-hate. Lesbian love. Lesbian kiss. Yeah, you really did it. You really did it for good reasons. I see why you put yourself out there. Holy shit. Your bias is showing. Cover up. Cover up. Your bias is showing. All right, guys. That's it for me tonight. Coming up next is Scotty Milan and Being Human. Scotty, how you doing, man? I saw you walk in.
Am I on?
You're on right now.
I am doing great, man. You were just on fire right there. I didn't want to interrupt you. I had so many thoughts running through my head, but you were on fire.
I just came to.
I know. Did you black out for a second?
I just blacked out, and I'm back. What are you talking about tonight on Being Human?
Well, you know what? There's some weird, you know, there's a lot of like weird kind of customs and cultural, social things we do in America and in other parts of the world. Mm. Things that to me are completely weird, to everyone else are completely normal. And we're going to kind of talk about like where they come from, why the hell we do things like that without even questioning it. Why we do things like cut off half our son's penis when he's 3 days old with Ooh. No anesthesia and without even questioning it at
Did
all.
Did you circumcise your son?
No.
Oh, you staunchly against it?
Yes. All right, we do things like that, and the only reason we can come up with is because everyone else does it, right? Because that's just the way you do things. That's the best reason you have to do most of the kind of customs and courtesies and little cultural things that we do.
Well, the best thing is women who are obviously, because everybody's against female circumcision, but it's,
any kind of female genital cutting is illegal and it's horrible and it's barbaric.
Yeah, and then the same people who are against female circumcision or any kind of mutilation to their genitalia will come out and say, well, you know, it's just cleanliness and ew.
I don't want an uncircumcised penis.
Exactly.
Ew.
They talk about how it's unsightly and it's better for cleanliness. Like, what do you know about cleaning a dick?
Meanwhile, when I had a dog, I had a boxer, and I would not do this today, but I was younger, and I got his ears cropped. I had people calling me a barbarian, and I was such an asshole for getting my dog's ears cropped. But when I said I wasn't going to get my son's penis cut in half, I was an asshole for that. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're going to do that. He has to be in the locker room with other boys and all this shit. And I was wrong for not wanting to cut my son's dick in half. But
by the time your son is in locker rooms with other boys, he'll probably have already been training Muay Thai for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see somebody laugh at his dick.
So my son has a proud anteater. But when he sees my dick in the shower, he's going to be like, how come mine doesn't look like yours? And I say, I didn't have a choice, son.
I didn't have a choice, son.
I did not have a choice.
You're the first person born
Grandma
outside of
Grandpa
the Matrix.
Grandma and Grandpa were barbarians.
He's like, what's his name?
They held me down against my will.
In the ship, in the Matrix. He's born outside of the Matrix. He's free
exactly.
born.
Yep.
That's it. He doesn't have the connector in the back of his head.
Exactly.
All right, man. Well, you know what?
Please stick around. Please stick around. We're going to have some fun.
Guys, it's going to be a quick transition because it's already 8:01 right now. But Scotty's going to be on. Greg's here too?
Yeah.
All right. Scotty's going to be on. So stick around right here. It's going to be a quick transition. And it's going to be more of the type of stuff you guys like. And please call in and talk to Scotty.
Yes, please. This is one of the times when you guys can call in and share your thoughts about things and even talk about some of your own little things that you don't understand. You know, there are many things that to me are weird that to everyone else are completely normal. So if there's things you feel about, you can please call in and talk about it.
And especially for anything from a military standpoint, too, Scotty is Marines and Greg is Navy. So, I mean, this is a great thing for all of our vets that watch this network and all that. So, please stick around and check out Being Human coming up next. Just a couple of short minutes. Don't go anywhere.